warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah, innallaha ma'as-sabirin. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشكرون صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, a fortnight ago I was discussing the different categories of shahadat. And I mentioned that since we are living in a time where incidents of this nature are occurring so frequently, that we hear of accidents, we hear of murder cases, we hear of so many other instant deaths. So people are suffering grief, sorrow, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, and Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being rahmatul lil alameen, to console those people who have believed in him, those people who have brought iman in him, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has increased the categories of shahadat. But I'm not going to go into the other categories because we are coming close to Ramadan. And I just want to mention one or two things which are quite relevant and important. And inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life and another opportunity, we would probably discuss it after Ramadan. But here what I wish to mention is this, that grief and sorrow, these are natural things. Nobody is without grief and without sorrow. Nobody can say that no grief and sorrow will ever visit me throughout my life. That's impossible. Even the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam and the greatest of all Nabis, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he too was faced with grief, with sorrow. But the difference is this, that those who are believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Nabi-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam has taught us how to behave and how to react in those conditions which bring upon our heart grief and sorrow, so that it may be reduced. We don't say that it will go away totally, but for a reduction in the grief and sorrow, because anything can happen anytime, anywhere. And at present these incidents are occurring so frequently, therefore it is necessary that we should learn how to reduce our grief and sorrow. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion the light went off, the lamp went off. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, she said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the lamp was extinguished, it went off, then is it some kind of difficulty that we have faced that you are reading, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un'?" Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, "Yes, any kind of difficulty, any kind of pain that reaches a person, even if the lamp has to go off, or even if a thorn has to injure a person, anything that causes a Muslim and a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala any kind of pain or difficulty," and he says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," on that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward him. Indicating that in everything that causes us pain, injury, harm, we should not ask for it because we are weak servants of Allah ta'ala. We should ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for good health, and we should ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for plentiful of sustenance. We should not ask for starvation and hunger. We should not ask for pain and injury. But if it does come, then immediately we turn our attention to the one who has sent it. Instead of looking at all the other causes, we turn towards the one who has sent that difficulty. And immediately we look at our own actions and our own deeds. Because the Quran Sharif makes it very clear that difficulties, hardships, we are talking about generally, it comes upon people because of their doings. It is not necessary that all the time it is a punishment, as I explained. It can be a means of elevation of the person's status. It could be a means of bringing the person closer to Allah Ta'ala. But in our condition, we know how much of sins we commit day and night. Even in those homes where there are calamities and disasters, those homes where people are suffering pain and injury, even in those homes, besides a day or two, after that again those same ways of life return. So much so that one brother tells me, he says a few months ago he went to one place where there was a death in the family. But because the janazah was still going to come from a distant place where the accident had taken place, so in that home, besides the room at the bottom, where there were a few people that were still waiting and shedding a few tears, but because there was some program that the family was addicted to, so the young children were still upstairs and the television set could be heard very, very clearly with its loud music and song and everything else that was going. Now if this is our condition, that even calamities and disasters don't make us turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what will make us turn towards Allah ta'ala? So therefore here we are talking about in general terms that that is what happens. But even then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends it so that we turn towards Him, and He may make it a means of forgiveness for us. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us to say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And in fact the Quran Sharif itself says that these people, when any kind of difficulty or hardship comes upon them, when they are tested by different things, whether it is by hunger or loss of wealth or loss of property or loss of a member of the family, in any way that they suffer any kind of loss, then they say inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now these words themselves have a great effect on the heart. The words themselves, if a person has to say these words, they have an effect on the heart. We say that how can just saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un have an effect on the heart? Indeed, the correct thing is that we should ponder over its meaning. Then it will have a tremendous effect and impact. But even if we don't ponder over its meaning and we have to say it, it does have an effect, because words have an effect on any person's heart. If you have to go and praise a person and tell that person that you are very generous, very kind, very hospitable, and you are a very educated person and person of good akhlaq and character, then that person will get bloated. That person will feel very proud. That person will feel very happy. And on the other hand, if you have to tell that person that you are stupid, you are foolish, you are mad, you are ignorant, then it's just words, the words of man, but it has a tremendous impact on the person's heart. That person who was just now talking very cheerfully, very smilingly, and very, very gentle and kind he was, but suddenly when you use these words, his anger knew no bounds, and you could see that the person has turned red with anger. So if the words of human beings can have such impact on the hearts of people, then how can the words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself not have an effect? And especially when you are saying inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, verily we are from Allah. This lam is lam of milkiyat, that we belong to Allah, that we belong to Allah himself. It's not that we were planning our own coming into this world. No parent has been ever able to claim that he is the one that provided the heart, the liver, the lung and the eyes and everything to the baby. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I am your master, you belong to me. Now this person is repeating that I belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Everything of mine belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to him is our return. So Allah ta'ala has blessed us with all these things as an amanat and as a trust. And if a person has to, for example, lend me his car and say that for 2 days you can use this car of mine, and then return it at the end of the second day. Now at the end of the second day, if he has to say, please return my car, then if I say that no, I'm very angry and very annoyed and very upset and very disturbed, that how can you ask for this car back? then we will say that he is foolish of this person. In fact, he should be grateful and thankful that this person lent the car to him for 2 days. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala lent us the sight, our hearing, our speech, our bodies, our hands, our feet, and everything else. Allah Ta'ala gave it to us as a trust. He lent it to us, that use it. Use it as long as I want you to use it. And the day I want you to come back, or hand all these things over to me, your children, your property, or whatever it is, then at that day, willingly and happily, you should hand it over to me, and believe that it was in your hand for a temporary period of time, and now it is time to return it. So when a person says that, return my what I left in your hands as trust, we do not become angry. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the milkiyat is his, everything belongs to him, inna lillah. And the return is also to him. So if one person has left our family, or if one person has left our home, then it is not that that's the end of life, because we also have to go the same place that that person has gone. Mirza Janajan rahmatullah alayh, who was a very great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, before his death he said one little couplet. When I mentioned this in one family's home, where there was some grief and sorrow, it eased the pain. He says, Log kehte hain ke mazhar mar gaya. Log kehte hain ke mazhar mar gaya. Aur haqeeqat ye hai ke mazhar ghar gaya. Say, Log kehte hain ke mazhar mar gaya. Haqeeqat ye hai ke mazhar ghar gaya. People are saying that mazhar died. But what kind of a death is that? Because mazhar didn't die. Mazhar returned home. From where he came, he returned. So if a person returns home, must a person be upset? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at his love for his creation. Look at his love for his servants. Look at his love for those who believe in him. It is a pity that we do not develop in our hearts that love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If only we develop that in our hearts. Just see what sukoon Allah ta'ala gives in the heart. We are not saying that difficulties will not come. We are not saying pain will not come in the body or in anything else. We are not saying that this person will not suffer any kind of accidents or any kind of harm or damage. But inside the heart, because this person has got this yaqeen and his belief is this, that everything is happening with the will of Allah Ta'ala. I must conform with the will of Allah Ta'ala. I must not plan. I must not plan and expect that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must now conform with my plans. Our difficulty is this, that why do we become so grieved? Why do we become so unhappy? Why do we become so disturbed? It's because we make all the plans. And thereafter we expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now to endorse those plans. If I have a son, child is just born, now already I've got a plan for 100 years for this son of mine. That this son of mine is going to grow up. I must give him the best of education. I must provide him the best of clothes. I am going to give him the best of degrees. And when he's going to qualify, then he's going to become a doctor, a teacher, a professor, a mufti sahab, qari sahab. Thereafter he's going to earn. And then he is also going to earn plentiful. By that time I will be getting old. Then he will take care of me. Now when we are going to plan like this, like Sheikh Chilli was planning, then what's going to happen is that if something suddenly goes wrong and our plans don't materialize, and 90% of the time our plans don't work, so then we will become very, very disturbed, very grieved, and we sometimes people even commit suicide. But if the person believes that my duty is to give my child the right education, to give him a proper upbringing, to educate him, and if he gets his degrees and qualifications, well and good, as long as he's a good Muslim, thereafter we leave everything in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala decides to take him away at 1 year of age or 50 years of age, that is Allah Ta'ala's plan and his will. Therefore Rasul Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, when his son Hazrat Ibrahim passed away, Nabi Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun. O Ibrahim, upon your passing away we are grieved, because that is natural. Somebody asked those children to keep quiet at the back there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, O Ibrahim, we are grieved at your departure, we are grieved at your loss. In fact, on one occasion Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, tears began rolling down his cheeks. So Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah, or one of them, said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he said, Ya Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you are also tearing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that is compassion and mercy. The tears from the eyes, that's compassion and mercy Allah Ta'ala has put in the heart. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not question a person on those tears, because it is natural grief. But he held his tongue and he said, this is something, it will only say that which is haq. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Because Allah Ta'ala will hold a person for what he says with his tongue. So these type of incidents will occur. Grief will come, it is natural. But at that time to believe that we are from Allah and to Him is our return, then it means that we will be taking a lesson from whatever is happening. The person who is gone, alhamdulillah, the person is gone. If he's gone in a good state, then we are hopeful Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving the person all the rewards of Jannat. But the lesson is for us. Therefore it has been stated that when a person cries, when a person becomes hysterical upon the death of somebody in the family, then the angel of death stands at the door and says that, don't think that I'm not going to visit this home again. I will be visiting this home again. I am going to take each and every one from this home. Yesara e dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi. Yesara e dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi. Jo muqeem isme the kal yahan kahin aaj unka nishan nahi. I say this world, we are visitors here, we are tourists here, we are musafirs here. It is not the home of anyone. Those who were here yesterday, there is no sign of them here today. I gave an example in my majlis, in my talk on, that we normally used to have on Sunday nights, that we all are very well acquainted now with timeshare units. We say it's a timeshare unit. I've got 2 weeks in there. I've got 1 month in there. I've got 3 months in there. Now that timeshare unit has been furnished. It has been furnished. There's everything there. There's stoves there, there's fridges there, there's air conditioning there, there's beautiful lounge suite there, and there's lovely beds there, and beautiful mattresses and everything. And beautiful scenery and view also. Beachfront scenery. But that person who is staying in there, he knows that when my time expires, whether I like it or not, I will have to quit. I will have to vacate. And if I don't, then they will bring the security and pull me out of the room and say that your time is over, now you have to go, somebody else is going to take your place. This is exactly our condition in this world, that we are only here for a period of time. After that we have to go and somebody else will be taking our place. Yeh ek qabr pe bekasi ba zuban hal hai keh rahi. Yeh ek qabr pe bekasi ba zuban hal hai keh rahi. Tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo, mujhe ehtiyaj bayan nahi. This is the silence of the grave. I mentioned that this silence is giving a big speech, that you require eyes, O you people. I don't have to give you a speech to tell you, look at my condition. I was at one time a great footballer, a great cricketer, I was a great sportsman, I was a great businessman, I was a great mufti sahab and qari sahab, I must have been a great sheikh. But in the qabr now everything is silent. So it is a lesson for us. The point that I was going to bring across, unfortunately the time moves so fast, but let me just cut off what I am discussing now and bring this important point. Brothers, something that we have to learn, and we have to educate our family members and our friends. It is important, we can't help it, we have to learn. Is this that when there is a mayyat in a person's home, the person has lost a family member. The person has lost his father, his brother, his sister, his mother. So there is grief and sorrow in the heart. There is pain in the heart. The person is not in the mood at that time for laughter and for joke and for entertainment. Now at that time, look at Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His sunnat, everything of his sunnat is nothing but ajmal, akmal, ashal. There's beauty in every sunnat and way of life of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is practical and it is easy. And it is the best and perfect way. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told his own family members that prepare some food and send it to the house of Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because the news has come that Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has become shaheed. Now that he has become shaheed and the news has arrived, his family people are definitely in grief and in sorrow. So prepare some food and send it to Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's home, so that they may partake of those meals because they will not be in the right frame of mind or in the right mood now to make preparation of meals. So he instructed his own family to send some food there. And that is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the beautiful way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if a person loses a family member and there's a grief, there's sorrow, then at that time the neighbors, it is their duty that they should prepare some meals and send it over to the neighbor, so that the people of his home, those who are in the home there, or those people who are involved directly in the kafan, dafan and burial and things like that, they may be able to eat. Or those people who have come from a distance and they are in that home and they are very closely related probably. So for them, this meal is provided. And it was to come from outside, from the neighbors or somewhere else. But at present, this system that we have got in our lives, and this customary and traditional practice that we have got, that the person has suffered the loss of his father, his mother, his sister, his brother, his beloved son and child. Now at that time, we go there as if we are like vultures, just waiting to devour. Is that right of any Muslim? Is that a nikah occasion? Is that a wedding occasion? Is that an occasion for entertainment? And it becomes very, very painful when we see even people of knowledge, they too do not abide by this teaching of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So those people who are local people, those people who are living in the same town, what they should be doing is looking in the janaza crowd. If somebody has come from Pietermaritzburg and Joburg and Timbuktu, then he tells that person that, look, I will take you for lunch today, or I will take you for supper today, because there is grief and sorrow in the family's home. Only those people who are closely associated, or those who are in the kafan, dafan and burial process, they will be eating there. But we don't expect that that person, the moment a mayyat takes place in his house, straight away he is looking for chair hire and tent hire and food hire and degs and rice and dal. Why? Preparation for meals for all those who will be making taziyat there. The purpose of taziyat and condolence was to convey to that person your own grief and sorrow. That I am very hurt, I am very disturbed, or I am also very grieved at the loss that you have suffered of your father, your mother, your son, your daughter. But instead of that, we are expressing a kind of happiness. That I am very, very happy that at least now I will have a good meal today. Brothers, just ponder over it. Is it right? Is it befitting a mu'min? Even if we have to use our intelligence, it will not make sense to us. That at a time when there is grief and sorrow there, and one person actually told me this, he says, Maulana, I was so hurt, a few years ago. He says, my mother passed away, and I had dal and rice prepared because that's tradition. Now everybody came. And he says that one person is laughing and joking, and he says, where's the sinkers? He's looking for extra meat in the dal. At a time when that person is suffering pain at the loss of his mother. So I am not interested in what people will say, but let me pass this message across very strongly to at least those who got love for me, and those people who respect me as a person who is guiding you rightly and correctly, that at least introduce this into your lives. Whether somebody else does it or not, that's good luck to him. But those people who say that they respect me as a person that is guiding them correctly, then from now on, if you have to go to a mayyat, then make it your duty that after the mayyat is over, even if it is lunchtime or supper time or any kind of time, but at that time go to some restaurant and have some sandwich or have some dry bread and or drink a cup of tea and disappear and go away home. But don't linger on there and wait there to have a good meal. It is not the sign of a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala becomes very, very angry at such people. Because the person's pain you are increasing. A Muslim is the one who does not cause any harm or injury or pain to another person. And then it just goes on and on for the next couple of days. And then all kinds of entertainment take place. So brothers, this is something that was very important, which I have witnessed, and I thought that it was time now to bring it to your attention, that we must make it our duty, that we go for the janaza salat. If we have dropped our women folk and it is already namaz time, then make it known to those women folk that as soon as I come back from the Qabristan, then I will take you away. You must not remain there for meals. Because what a kind of gathering that becomes. So let us take these lessons. They are from Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you will find that our life will become more peaceful and more pleasant. One person in Kanpur in India, he went to one Hakim Sahab. And he said, Hakim Sahab, please, whatever happens, give me any kind of medication, but make sure that my father recovers from his illness, because there's ration of rice, there's ration of oil, there's ration of dal at that time during the wartime. That means his concern was this, that how am I going to feed so many people? So ease the burden of the family that has suffered a loss. It's time that we put these things into practice. What will it cost us? Even if we have to starve for that one afternoon, what difference it will make? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to bring into our lives those beautiful teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that our life on this earth may become a peaceful and a happy one, our life in the grave and our life in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.